The Lord be with you.
Welcome,
welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight, and I really mean that. Great to see all of you tonight. You would think that we had like a special attraction or special guest speaker or something like that. It is a great honor and privilege to have our former vicar, now pastor-elect, Christian Preuss, here with us. Arrived yesterday in Lincoln, and it'd be great to have him around for a little while and deliver the message, to deliver the goods tonight. We pray God's blessings upon the Preuss family as they transition to Wyoming, and especially on Pastor-elect Preuss as he preaches God's word to us tonight. Tonight, following church, we are not going to have Bible study. Instead, the coffee pot is on, there's cookies, and I've got popsicles and ice cream bars and all kinds of stuff, because it's kind of an ice cream day, right? And so we'll have a little mini Preuss Fest in the fellowship hall afterwards, so you can get a chance to catch up on the Preusses. And remember, the youngest of the Preusses, Mary, has a unique distinction among all the Preusses. To the best of my knowledge, she is the only Preuss born in Nebraska. So that's a Nebraska Mary, as far as I'm concerned. A couple of words on our worship service for tonight. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal, 533. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching, page 260 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to receive your holy and precious gifts. Heavenly Father, we are here because the Holy Spirit has called us into your family. We are here because as poor, miserable sinners, we cannot stand on our own. We stand only by your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the holy, precious, innocent blood of Jesus, which washes away all of our sin. Free and justified, we stand before you, ready to serve you and to serve our neighbor. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight as we hear that word once again. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 533. Prayer and Preaching, page 260. Page 260, please stand as you're able. This is the day which the Lord has made. From the rising of the sun to its setting. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. This text will also serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven. And number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day. From 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is the one who considers his poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not abide, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Common Responsory, page 263. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Please stand. The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We pray together as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, how wonderful to see you all again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That portion of God's Word which will serve as the basis for our sermon this evening, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in Genesis chapter 15, which we heard read just a few moments ago. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the Gospel according to St. John, the evangelist records a contentious conversation Jesus had with the Jews of his day. Jesus says to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This is our Lord Jesus Christ's clearest and boldest confession that He is the eternal God, the Lord Almighty, who created heaven and earth and revealed Himself in the Scriptures of the Old Testament. Not only does Jesus claim that He existed before Abraham, He calls Himself by the great name of God revealed to Moses at the burning bush, "I am." In Hebrew, Yahweh. In English translation, the Lord. Jesus' claim is not simply that He is divine. Many a king in the ancient world claimed divinity, whether Gilgamesh, king of Uruk, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or the Caesars of Rome. They all claimed to be gods. But Jesus' claim is very different. His claim is exclusive. He claims not to be a God among many, but to be the one and only God, the God who alone rules heaven and earth, the God that the Jews pride themselves on worshiping. And Jesus stares these men in the face, these pious Jews who reject all the wickedness of their pagan culture, these pious Jews who rightly ridicule the pantheon of pagan gods as the invention of deluded and perverted minds, Jesus stares them in the face and tells them and us, "You want to worship the one God who made heaven and earth? You want to worship the God who appeared to Abraham? You want to distinguish yourself from these pagans all around you and their idols and worship the one true God, then you must worship me, because I am He." And this is most certainly true. There is no God besides Jesus. The Father does not exist without His only begotten Son, and the Holy Spirit does not exist except as He proceeds from the Father and the Son. The God of Islam is not God, because He is not Jesus. The God of the Jews is not God, because He is not Jesus. If you want to find God, you will find Him only in Jesus, the Son of the Father, who sends His Spirit. You will find the true God only in Jesus, the crucified Son, whom the Father gave up to death on the cross so that by the shedding of His blood we may live by the eternal Spirit. It is as important as ever that we Christians confess this basic Christian truth on which our eternal salvation depends. There is no God but Jesus, our Savior. This fact, that Jesus is the only God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is continuously attacked in our day. And this not just by the liberals who are trying to force our daughters to share bathrooms with men in the name of their false God called progress. No, here we need to be discerning, dear Christians. It is our social allies, conservative and social religious leaders who are willing to sacrifice Jesus and His honor as the only true God upon the altar of political expediency. You hear it all the time. It's claimed that Jews and Mormons and Muslims and Christians, they all believe in the God of Abraham. They all believe in the God who instituted marriage with Adam and Eve. And they urge us all to pray together, to unite together. They refer to our shared Abrahamic heritage. They refer to our Judeo-Christian values. They act as if we all have the same God. And as much as we should unite together to fight the perversity promoted by our government, as much as we should stand up with and for anyone, no matter his religion, to defend marriage between one man and one woman and to protect our children from this terrible idol called progress, we must not do it at the expense of our confession of the one true God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus was the God of Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. He was not a Muslim. He was certainly not a Mormon. He was a Christian. There is only one Abrahamic faith because Abraham had faith in only one God, the only God there is, and that God is Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father from whom the Holy Spirit is sent. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, and he saw it, and he was glad. That's what Jesus says, and when Jesus speaks, we listen. We listen to the one who has the words of everlasting life. Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced, that he was glad. This is what believing in Jesus brings, joy and gladness. This is what it means to confess the Holy Trinity. Believing in the Trinity is not a mere recitation of the facts of the Father's unbegottenness, the Son's begottenness, and the Holy Spirit's proceeding. It is not simply the proper articulation of the doctrine that there are three eternal persons in one God and one eternal God in three persons, though it is important for us to confess and believe this also. But believing in the Trinity is rejoicing in the fact that we have an eternal Father in heaven, who loves us eternally in His only begotten Son, the Son who has become one with us, who has taken our flesh and our blood on Himself in Jesus, and sends us His eternal Spirit to convince us of our sins and to point us to the One who has taken these sins upon Himself and gained for us righteousness and forgiveness before God forever. Confessing the Trinity means joy and gladness in Jesus. It means having a pure conscience before God, knowing that although you do not deserve this God of love, although you deserve only God's anger and punishment for your sins, you have a God whose love for you is eternal, as surely as His Son, in whom He has revealed this great love, is eternal. Confessing the Trinity means having the joy of sins forgiven in Christ. And this is the joy that Abraham had. It was at night, a real time in history, some 2,000 years before the Son of God became flesh, when Abraham glimpsed the day of Jesus. Abraham was filled with the joy that comes only by knowing the Holy Trinity. Abraham had just won a great victory against rival kings who had kidnapped his nephew Lot. But as it goes in earthly affairs, the glamour and excitement of victory soon passes, and a man is left by himself with his thoughts, knowing deep in his soul that all is vanity. That no matter his great accomplishments, no matter his riches and his great earthly fame, he is a sinner who will meet his inevitable end. Every man will die. Every man will reap what he has sown, as the Holy Scriptures declare, the wages of sin is death. It is a terrible feeling to know this, to know not only that you will die, and that there is nothing that you can do to stop it, but that you yourself are the reason for your death, that you are a sinner who is getting his just deserts. And this feeling often comes upon a person after he has experienced the greatest joys that this world can offer. Because even these joys are ephemeral. They last only a day and then they fade away, reminding us of our mortality, of our death-ridden bodies. It was as Abraham contemplated this desperate reality that God came to him with the promise that ends all sadness, that ends all fear of death, all thought of vanity and despair. Do not be afraid, God said to Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Abraham objected, as our timid minds and our doubtful hearts like to do. He objected and he said, but the son you promised me, dear God, the son in whom you promised my salvation and the salvation of all nations, this son you have not given me. Abraham held God to his promise, and God answered in his mercy, no, but I will give you this son. And this son will be for you a joy, not simply an earthly joy as any father has with his son, but a joy that lasts to eternity, because from this son will come my son. And in him, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham believed God. He believed that this Son of God would come, that this Son of God would take on his flesh and be born of his seed, that he would end the terror of death by crushing the head of Satan, our accuser, and submitting himself to death, to end death's dark sting. And God counted it to Abraham as righteousness, because Abraham had grasped hold of Jesus by faith. He had seen that his own righteousness was nothing, but that the righteousness and innocence of Jesus was everything, and it was his. In this righteousness, the righteousness and innocence that is found in Jesus, there is no fear of death. There's no fear of separation from God. There is only joy, everlasting joy. And this is Christian joy. Abraham was a Christian. His expectation from God, all his thoughts concerning God revolved around the promise of Christ, the promised seed and Savior. The Christian does not approach God in his bare majesty, because the Christian knows that he is a sinner and that sinners cannot stand before the holy God and live. Instead, the Christian approaches God according to God's own promises. The promises of blessing and forgiveness, and these promises always, always, always rest in Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh for us. And so Jesus claimed to be God Almighty, to be the God of Abraham. This is no mere point of arcane historical trivia. It is the greatest truth and comfort also for us here this evening. Only when we know that Jesus is God and God is Jesus do we know who God is and who we are. Since Jesus is God, since he is the eternal God made flesh, since he has become our brother by becoming a man like unto us in every way except for sin, since he has taken our place and become our substitute before the throne of God's justice, we can know him, we can approach him, we can call on our God, the Holy Trinity, with confidence. We can make requests of our Father in heaven as dear children ask their dear Father. We can, like Abraham, remind God of his gracious promises to us and hold God to these promises. God loves nothing more than this, that we, his children, remember his promises to us, that we remember and rejoice in Jesus, glorying not in ourselves but in our God, who has made us his own in our baptism, where we were given the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as we were clothed in Christ's own righteousness. Here God gave us his Spirit and promised to us that he will be our God and that we will be his children, that we will live with him forever, that all of our sins, having been washed away in the blood of Jesus' cross, are removed from us forever. We hold God to this promise as Abraham did. We confess and rejoice in this promise as Abraham did. And we bless the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, who is the one and only God and ours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. We sing hymn 819.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For He is God, and He alone. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Concludes with the prayers of the church, page 265. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry, the homeless, the widowed, the orphaned, and all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all pastors who are receiving their first calls, for all vicars who are about to begin their assignments, for our own member, Mark Krenz, as he begins his study at the seminary, and especially for pastor-elect Christian Preuss and his family as they make the move to Casper, Wyoming, and the saints at Mount Hope Lutheran Church in Casper, that they be fed by God's Word in its truth and purity, and that your blessings be upon them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, the strength of all who trust in You, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us Your grace to keep Your commandments, that we may please You in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, You have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of Your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray. I thank You, my Heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, for Your Son, that You have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that You would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into Your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let Your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 798, The God of Abram Prays, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Dan, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Pastor-elect, thank you. The people of God in Casper, at Mount Hope, and around are truly blessed. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Again, no Bible study tonight. You're all invited. We've got coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Have a chance to catch up with Pastor-elect Preuss and Lisa and the kids. They're all here. We checkmarked a big box off the list today for the Preuss visit to Lincoln. We made a trip to Runza. And it's almost complete. Yeah, there you go. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. Lifelight, Pastor Murundi and Vicar and the junior high kids are at Camp Kamika, but we will have Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Job 18, right smack dab in the middle of the book. Vacation Bible School next week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. And there's a sign-up sheet and table, all the stuff we need. So check that out. Help us pass the word as well. Anything that you want to say at this point in time?
Are they getting those awesome driving shirts for DPS? I don't
know.
They're awesome.
I don't have them. I'm in charge of the music. Okay. Have a great day.